to wake, pills to sleep, pills, pills, pills every day of the week, pills to walk, pills to think, pills, pills, pills for the family.
I spent a year suspended in air, my mind on the gap, my head on the stairs.
Hello and welcome to Weekly Beats, the podcast in which two guys give you their perspective on the week in music. My name is Charlie.
My name is Mark.
And this week on the show, we are jam-packing, stuffing the show with content. We're going to be discussing the first album, the very first album. No, of course not. It's the return album from the one, the only Shania Twain. This thing is now. It is here. It's now. It's been 15 years of waiting, and she is back on the scene. We've been away so long. We've got more. We're talking St. Vincent. Mass Seduction in here as well. We're also going to be talking about that huge hit on the Billboard charts this week. It is 1-800-273-8255 by Logic featuring Alicia Cara and Khalid. We'll break that down into 30-second chunks in the second half of the show. We'll be talking about what else we listen to, including some old favorites and some good fall jams for this time of the year. Marcus, we are in November, and the end of the year is fast approaching. How are you feeling right now?
You know, it's been a long road to hoe. We've been gone for, a month now? We haven't recorded in about a month.
Seriously, it's been way too long. I know October was crazy for me. You've been going through Simone changes.
I've been going through Simone.
Going through Simone, yeah. Who's a great lady, a very nice lady.
I'm just ripping through Simone.
Yeah. It's a whole new world for both of us here, but we've come out on the other side. We got to get this ship righted because in just a few weeks here, you and I will be sitting down together to discuss the year in music of 2017.
Should we maybe, right before we get into the reviews, do you think we should talk about what we did? Because I haven't spoken to you in this the whole time.
Sure.
Like, there was just a whole month of silence on our feed. We just uploaded which review was it we just uploaded?
Was it Queens of the Stone Age? No,
that's way long ago.
Yeah.
That was one right after LCD. Anyway, we just uploaded...
The National.
We upload our National
Sleep
episode.
Well Beast.
But that was actually after we had... There was not very long of a hiatus before we went back to that one. So I personally have just been ripping through Simone. But what about you?
Just been living the life, you know. Carved some pumpkins for the Halloween season. And now they are rotting slowly. I've gotten out my winter clothes and my jackets for the fall season. I've turned on my furnace for the fall season. Changed my tires in my car, my winter tires. I got those fixed up. Just typical fall preparations. Everything you could think of, I've pretty much taken care of at this point.
Yeah, and you obviously, because it's the fall season, you've boarded the windows. You've boarded the door.
And it's gotten to the point where, you know, it's so much of a hassle to have to take the boards down once it's nice out. I just leave the boards up now these days. Mm-hmm. Through the summertime, you'd be surprised how fast winter comes around again. So just keep everything boarded up. No reason to go out ever. Just going to be winter again soon. So,
right.
If I've learned anything about living in Ohio, it's that it is always winter. Just when you think it's not winter, then there, winter's back.
I feel like now, though... It's like unseasonably warm all the time. So I'm always kind of feeling this anxiety inside. Because it's really warm right now. It feels like summer. Tastes like spring in the middle of October. Or November. That's not a great feeling.
If I have a suggestion to you, it would be to just board up your windows and stay inside. That way it's always the same temperature.
Yeah. Okay. I'll consider doing that. I'll definitely consider doing that.
Yeah. You know who else has recently unboarded the windows on her house? Is Shania Twain. She's finally come out after 15 years of silence and isolation. Up was her most recent album before this one back in 2002. I talked a little bit on the last show, Mark, about how big of a Shania fan I was. I grew up with Come On Over. I saw her in concert when I was a wee boy. Just loved this pop superstar sensation and... While I may have fallen out a bit as far as being a fan of hers in recent years, I was still eagerly awaiting this new album, excited to hear what her new sounds might be like in 2017. And I'm interested to hear your take on this stuff because, man, I find this album now super flat, almost lifeless in energy. There is some production on this thing for sure, but I think plenty of outlets have mentioned how her voice has not progressed as well as she would probably have liked. And granted, she's struggled with either an illness or a condition that has caused some degeneration of her vocal cords. So we all kind of expected that coming into this, but you really feel the production and the auto-tune and the sort of crutches that she's got supporting her up through this thing. Very few high notes hit. It's a much more lower registered vocal performance here.
Mm-hmm.
And man, lyrically, it's kind of flat. Emotionally, it's pretty flat. There are a couple of small highlights, but this thing is long. This thing is way too long, I think, for a pop album, and is not the return to form that I was hoping from Miss Twain.
It's like 40 minutes.
Is it really 40 minutes?
Like 41 minutes or something.
It feels like it's over an hour.
Well, did you listen to the deluxe version?
I honestly
would
think, yeah.
That's about an hour.
That it's so long.
That was pretty long. I cut those tracks out pretty much the second I listened to the first track. And I was like, I don't know. I think that's maybe a little long. Maybe a little long. I'll cut out the extra ones.
Wait, which ones are?
There's a bunch of extra tracks.
It's oh, like, my God.
Yeah. Are you okay?
I had no idea.
You've been listening to the whole
thing.
There's
so many bonus tracks. I thought it would be like at the end. So what I did was I went on to the Wikipedia page and saw that the last track on the standard edition was Soldier. Right. And Soldier is the second to last song on the album here. So I thought the deluxe edition would just had one extra song in there.
No.
Oh, man.
That's not how this works.
That's insane. There's so many songs on this thing.
Not only that, but the bonus tracks are actually like they're inside the album. They're not all like dropped at the end.
Right. That's why I thought they were all part of the real thing. I just never double checked it.
Yeah.
Wow. So that's why it felt like an hour, because it was.
It was actually an hour, yeah.
But seriously though, even with 40 minutes, I'm looking at the tracks that are on the standard edition. Mm-hmm. No thanks.
You know, I don't have any kind of like.
Yeah. Tabula rasa is here. You're a blank slate coming into the Shania house.
Hello, Shania. Thank you for having me. But I have to say, I don't really have any kind of a background. So, like, listening to this stuff, I didn't really think, oh, her voice sounds less than usual. I thought, oh, her voice sounds great. She sounds like a really accomplished vocalist. But the only thing I knew going into this was it was a deluxe edition. I'm listening to it on Spotify, and I thought to myself, nah, I'm not doing that. So I went and made sure to remove all the deluxe parts of the deluxe edition and happened to read on the Wikipedia page this was a return to form. She'd been gone forever. And I was like, okay, wow. Like, I read something like the Rolling Stone said, like, this is her proof that she's relevant. And I was like, okay, what's the proof she's relevant? And the first track on this thing is, to at least for me, very surprising. If that was actually her intention, was to prove her relevancy, to open and to name her album Now, and then to open with a track called Swinging With My Eyes Closed that is, I would say, 40% reggae and like 60% 90s radio. Like,
yeah.
Maybe not the... I was fascinated at that point because that was my entire reading of like, who in 2017 thinks I need to prove my relevancy? I'll go ahead and add reggae to my pop album.
Well, I think Shania Twain has always existed at a bizarre crossroads of musical stylings. You know, I would say most see her as a country music artist that's got a lot of pop crossover.
Mm-hmm.
But even when she found massive success back in the late 90s, she was famous for releasing a number of different versions of her albums. So, for instance, Come On Over has gotten both the U.S. release and a world release that changes the instrumentation backing her songs and also changes the order of the track list to make it more palatable to individuals in different countries. And she herself is Canadian. So she's trying to play to all sides. And I think the influence from Latin America, you know, a variety of other cultures that aren't just straight country music definitely impacts her sound here. Same with Up, you know, that also got three different versions that changes the backing instrumentals. Yeah. This one I don't think did, but the mixture of sounds is certainly noticeable here. And I think also in 2017, it's a lot easier for country folks to cross over than they were willing to back in the day. You know, the pop country mix up, and even with a bit of the like hip hop production we've seen from folks like Florida Georgia Line and other artists, are making the country sound more mainstream.
That's interesting. And you would put Shania Twain up there with those country bands that are produced with more hip-hop style aesthetic.
I don't know if it's like hip-hop exclusive. I would say she's more world-minded. Like, she's interested in how the Europeans are going to take her music.
That's okay. I mean, that's maybe fair. Being in Spain briefly, I kind of got the sense that pop music looked like, I don't know.
Despacito?
No, not Despacito.
Over and over again.
People actually were not very happy when we were into Despacito when we were over there. But I got the sense that some stuff was like, this kind of feels like American radio did in the 90s. Maybe that's just from my brief, like, that's not maybe, I don't have like a wholehearted understanding of that place. But I got more from this, just a total lack of awareness. Just a complete lack of, like, I was very famous in the 90s. I had a ton of radio hits in the 90s in the country crossover, like, pop scene. And I bet it stayed pretty much the same. I feel like the majority of these tracks are very, it feels like, you know, like they're going to be performed by someone on The Voice, you know? There's really not much intent to them. Even when they pull from other cultures, you kind of get the sense that this is a really gussied up, like, radio-friendly version of this thing. Because Swinging With My Eyes Closed, the way that she utilizes reggae in that track is just as, like, a fun, relaxing tune. Like, I'm relaxed, so I'll be a reggae star for this one. Until it gets weird with the string section at the end.
Let's play a little bit from Swing With My Eyes Closed. So, okay, just to break down this song. Okay, that opening suggests it's going to be a completely different song from what we get the very next second, which is this. We're 15 seconds in, not even, and already I'm like, whoa, whiplash, what was that? And now what is this? We're on a beach, or we're... Yeah. So here's the vocals. Summer's here, bring it on. Another year, one more beer, another song comes on the radio. So, and I know lyrically, Shania has never been one that is, you know, really swinging for the fences here. Even with her eyes closed, she wouldn't be swinging for the fences. But man, to open with your first line of your comeback album to say "Summer's here, bring it on," is so flat and uninteresting and uninspired. I can understand that this is maybe the one track on the album that feels the most up tempo, upbeat. Most of these songs are hanging out in about the same tempo range, which is to say, it's not very speedy. It's kind of right about here. But even to not open with a song like Home, which is at least lyrically about returning home to a place where you felt welcome or loved, you know, it's lyrically flat and musically not very interesting, but at least thematically it backs up the idea there.
Yeah.
I just don't think that this track to open up, I don't feel has the energy she needs to propel her forward. No track on this album has really that shot in the arm. That's something like Man, I Feel Like a Woman does. You put that thing on, the opening to Come On Over, man, that is a blast of liquid adrenaline into the arm.
Right. I mean, it's a party.
It's total party.
And I feel like there's one moment on this thing where she really makes a concerted effort to...
Look at that.
I can't.
The party started.
That's not possible.
It doesn't get any better than that.
The listener should note the number of times Charlie has invited me to his house. And I'm like, do you need something? It's like 2 a.m. And it's dimmed the lights. And then he turns on Man, I Feel Like a Woman by Shania Twain. It's a lot of times. It's a very high ratio of times of me visiting his place.
I like turning the volume up as far as it can possibly go.
Mm-hmm.
And then just letting that trumpet guitar ring sing out.
Look at that, he'll say.
Look at that. Look at that right there. Anyways, back to the far inferior album now.
Yeah. That's what's funny to me about it is that I think you're right that this song propels her into a series of ballads that do cross genres here and there, but that's only aesthetically. Structurally, they're all pretty much the same progression, the chord progressions and ballads and things like that. And I felt like Light of My Life, pretty much pretty familiar stuff. Poor Me is kind of embarrassing. And I'm thinking, what is her play at relevancy here? She's not engaging in any particular discourse. I think the song where she does that the most is We Got Something They Don't, which I don't think is directed towards any group or any person or any movement.
Yeah.
But there's
a
sense that she's going to raise her fist in the air and wave it like she just doesn't care, which is terrible. I don't really understand.
Fist up in the air, oh, like we don't care.
I don't know. I don't really understand. The only person who would make an album like this as their proof of relevancy hasn't been paying any attention to what anyone else has been doing. Nothing sounds like this because it sounds dated now.
Right. And I think there's something to be said about, like, she was just in a time capsule for 15 years and, like, she emerged from her cryo sleep and's like, I've got more music to make. And it's like a throwback sound to that era, because I think there is something to be said about that era and time and music.
I agree.
But all of these songs are worse than just about anything else on that album. It's really flat and uninteresting. There's so little good hooks throughout. Mm-hmm. There's no sweeping moment where she gets to just kind of belt it out. It feels tepid and reserved and like she's just trying to get back in the game while not pushing the genre forward and relying on overproduction to keep her steady. And I think her detractors have said that she's always relied on those kind of crutches, but at least she was churning out pop hooks left and right.
Yeah. And there's nothing like that on here. And I don't think that should be leveled at her voice, because there's plenty of pop artists who they just get older. There's no disease that holds them back. They just got older. They no longer have the range they once did, who continue to participate in pop music and make stuff that's catchy and good. There was that Blondie album that came out this year where, Debbie's voice is no longer incredible. It's no longer like has the technical range, but she understands stage presence enough to know how to level what she's got to be effective. It's more about just, I think, an ignorance of the scene, you know, like this stuff is crazy to me. I understand that she didn't, from what I understood looking at the Wikipedia page for about 6 seconds, is that she didn't write a lot of the music. She didn't produce a lot of the music, at least. And maybe she was misled by those people, but I am not a believer in this album. I think the fact that it's called Now is actually kind of ironic. And I'm sorry you don't get up to party. I felt bad listening to this because I thought he's probably not partying to this right now listening to it.
I'm definitely not. I definitely wasn't partying. This album is kind of like the sonic equivalent of a TLC reality show for some washed up celebrity that was big 2 decades ago and is now coming back onto the TV to remind you all that they're still relevant.
That is a delicious hot take, and I'll get it served up to me on a nice warm platter. That's very
and
good.
It's perfect because the title of that sitcom, that reality show, would just be called Life's About to Get Good with Shania Twain, and she's got her own theme song for herself here. Just imagine, like, fun shots of her with her children, like playing in the leaves or like walking through downtown. Snapshots of who she was in the 90s, reclaiming her youthful innocence.
Does she have like a goofy friend who kind of like looks at the camera and goes, yeah, like, I don't know, I'm the goofy one.
I mean, that's it. It's on TLC every Tuesday night at 9 o'clock.
No, that's the worst TLC slot you could have. I'm sorry, Shania.
I know. But it just feels like the kind of thing that's manufactured for network television.
Yeah. Because just, who is this actually like, who is this manufactured for outside of that realm? Like, just speaking as far as like radio hits go, like, who's like, oh, this is what we've been looking for, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know.
Who in 2017, in the year of our Lord 2017, everything that's happened, where practically everyone agrees, no matter where they stand in the world and its issues, things are really tough right now. There's a lot of big fights to be had. Who comes out into, you know, from years of being away and goes, I have something. I'm going to prove I'm relevant in 2017. Here's a track called Life's About to Get Good. It's 2017. Stuff's going to be real good today. Who does that?
And I mean, I'll say I'm not coming to Shania Twain for social commentary.
No, me neither.
Or like,
well, absolutely me neither. Let me be clear. I did not expect her to be like super woke, like digging into stuff. But I'm just saying, it's kind of hilarious that it's called Now. Like, here, it's Now. Yeah. Things are great. I'm Shania Twain. I don't know. I thought it was weird.
Yeah. that's fair. I appreciate that. I just wanted to write good pop hooks, and I don't feel like there's anything good on here.
I would have been perfectly happy with some celebratory, fun Shania Twain songs.
Right. I do think that Light of My Life needs to be looked at for having a Shins ghostwriter write this chorus. Did you notice this?
No.
Listen to the chorus from Light of My Life. Tell me it's not the Shins. All that vocal layering and the disjunct melody there, that is so James Mercer.
You think so?
Totally, man. That could be Offshoot's Too Narrow for all I care. Speed it up a little bit, get his vocals on top of that.
Maybe.
Seriously.
That's a pretty general
dead ringer
sound, though. I don't know. Like, when I listen to the Shins, I feel like the Shins sound like anybody.
Yeah.
You know? Like new Shins, specifically, not the old Shins.
Sure, sure, sure. I think there are some downright abysmal tracks on this thing. Maybe contenders for some of the worst songs of the year. Like More Fun. Oh, man.
Yeah. It's like
there's
the
so much
of life.
Space in that chorus. It's totally the absence, because it's just that like blink, 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 blink on the piano. There's no energy. There's no hook. Yeah. It's just dead space.
Oh, I love dead space, though.
And the opening to it.
It's Monday, and I hear you when you say you hate that day. Me too, but there's nothing much about it we can do.
So flat.
Yeah.
Oh, it's Monday. You hate that. Yeah, I know. Can't do anything about it. It's not going anywhere. It's not progressing. It's not saying anything interesting. The song is called More Fun, which is about as awful a title as you could come up with.
Yeah.
Not to be outdone with the next track called I'm All Right. Everything is just so bland. The entire album cover is shades of gray.
Mm-hmm.
It's washed out, colorless, unenergetic. Everything's hanging out at about that like 100 beats per minute mark, not moving up in tempo, not expressing a range, not bringing anything insane in the production. It's just flat. It's a really flat return to form.
Yeah, and I think lyrically, We dive into pop music a lot, and you think about something like Feel Like a Woman, where that's an extremely simply written song lyrically. I mean, there's very little ambiguity to be had there. but there's a level of self-acceptance. So like there is therefore some authenticity to that song. Do you know what I mean? There's something there that person is feeling, that they're expressing in a broad but true way. And that's a fine line in pop music, being earnest and broad, but is an important one, because the second you lose that earnestness, the second you're writing something like, why are you complaining so much? Like, then it just kind of becomes boring. Like, if your language isn't there to supplement your meaning and you have no meaning, then what's the point? Speaking magistically.
Again, the opening to Come On Over is this, which has more personality and pizzazz to it than a single moment on the entirety of Now. That's including the deluxe edition, which I did listen to.
Yes, as we've established.
An hour worth of material is all worse than 3 seconds, the opening 3 seconds, to an album that's 20 years old.
Can I read a poem I wrote to you?
Yes, please.
It's called Poor Me. Here we go.
Oh, dear.
I found it in his closet, right behind the lies. I wish I never saw it. The secret in his eyes. Poor me. He never told me how long I'd been living in the dark. No one turned the light on. I fell and I broke my heart. Poor me. Poor me. Why do I keep looking back? Poor me this, poor me that. It's not white, it's not black. Gray's the color that I see. Still can't believe he'd leave me to love her. Pour me another. Tried to face it, but so far down inside, I just can't shake it. My stupid pride. Poor me. Why do I keep looking back? I know it should get better. Oh, but it never does. I wish he'd never met her. Then everything would be the way it was.
Mm.
Pour me this, pour me that, pour me another. Thank you. Thank you. That's
I get the wordplay there now. Pour me another. Aha, it's wordplay. Pour me.
I'll take it as a compliment. Thank you.
Pour me, like I'll pour me a drink, another. Pour me, I'm feeling bad for myself.
That's so bad. Yeah.
And I will not hold Shania up as a master lyricist. She is not that person. But just as a comparison, I will give you some of my favorite lyrics from her great classic album, Come On Over. This is from When. The song opens with the lines that read, "If elephants could fly, I'd be a little bit more optimistic. But I don't see that happening anytime soon. I don't mean to sound so pessimistic, but I don't think that cow really jumped over that moon. When will I wake up? Why did we break up? When will we make up? When money grows on trees, people live in peace, everyone agrees. When happiness is free, love can guarantee that you'll come back to me. And that's when."
That's fine. That's fine.
It's fine, right. There's a difference between being fine and being atrocious.
Yeah, no, that's totally fine. I could see that really moving somebody in front of a really catchy hook. I can see that really plain. I can see that being effective.
It's about the delivery. Let me get you the delivery of that song here. Get a little bit of that 90s guitar in there. Oh, listen to that. Here it is. Totally different, man. Totally different.
Yeah.
Am I crazy?
No. I honestly,
I feel like I'm crazy.
I actually don't think you're crazy, because I am not a Shania Twain fan. I would not go out of my way to listen to Shania Twain personally, but I do think from the singles that I've been made to hear, just because they're very famous, very popular, I haven't like looked up with derision upon Shania Twain, you know what I mean? But I do listen to this stuff and think this could never have been said. Like there's really so little meat on these bones that I might as well not have had anything to eat at all. This is this is not very good.
No, I agree. Another opening to a song. She says cool.
What? I feel like this is a side of you I never saw. I don't know if it's because we're dudes and we're friends, so you don't choose to throw on the Shania Twain. But I really never saw you digging on the Shania Twain before.
And I wanted – did you listen to Come On Over at all?
No.
Because I wanted you to listen to it. Tell me if I'm still crazy.
The Twain
because
Train.
The Twain Train. Get on this Twain Train with me. I feel like – is it okay for me to still like this stuff, or was it garbage back then too? I don't know. Like I said, I grew up with it, listening to it. It was the first artist that I really, you know, as a 5 or 6 year old kid, said I like that. I think it's still good. I still put it on and think, yeah, that's some really good stuff. But I don't know if that's my subconscious mind, my child brain saying I love this when I was a kid, and it means a lot to me as a young child.
Uh-huh.
But it's not my critical brain engaging with the stuff. I mean, I understand it's pretty fluffy as far as music goes, but I think there's a time and a place for that. I like strong pop female vocalists. You know,
yes,
that.
Yes, you do. That you're a big fan of young women in music. Now that she's old, hate her. It makes perfect sense.
Is this
sense.
The originator? Is this where it all began? Like, am I in like a drama where there was a mystery in my past and I've forgotten it because of some serious head injury? And this is the key to understanding everything.
Shania Twain is the key?
Shania Twain is the key. And somewhere in the lyrics is like my reset button that unlocks the matrix and I gain superpowers. I don't know.
Well, perhaps that key is hidden in one of these tracks. Perhaps it's hidden, in fact, in the second track, Home Now.
Yeah.
I
have
my
no
heart
idea.
When I had the mind to, lost my way trying to find truth, but I'm home now. Home now, I'm home now. Cross my heart and I hope to make it over to the other side of wasted. But I'm home now. And I'm one of those lucky ones whose dreams out loud and it all comes. I've been roaming around, I've the lost and found, but I'm home now. I sold the lot when I couldn't reach it, had the faith, but I couldn't keep it. But I'm home now. And I'm one of those lucky ones who prays for rain and down it comes. I've been roaming around, the lost and found. Is this are any of these words that are like a cellar door type thing, like you say it and then you become activated? Is this like a Manchurian Candidate moment? Have you remembered yet?
No.
That's too bad. Sold my soul to a new religion, then I heard my name through the distance. That one seems...
Yeah, I'm intrigued by the new religion she sold herself to.
Which one is that? I was a Scientologist for a while. But then I wasn't. Thanks, Shania.
But I mean, critical reception to this thing has been middling, but I feel like some folks are still maybe leaning a bit positive on this thing. I'm mid-leaning negative. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I won't say like I listened to this and thought, this is terrible. I listened to it and thought, this is baffling. Like,
yeah,
that this person was considered to be such like a legend of the radio and to make a big statement that comes across as this, it just... It makes me question her as a person.
Right.
You know? Like, this seems... Have you not listened to music at all? Like, even once? Like, have you not kept up with any artist younger than you? You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. How else do you come to this conclusion? If this is your revival where you're bringing back a sound, why are you throwing in all this reggae? Not that there's a lot of it. But you know what I'm saying? Like, why are
right.
you... Why
are
you
starting off with the reggae?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe there will be a secret in Taylor Swift's upcoming album, and we'll understand it all then.
There's a lot of secrets.
Taylor Swift would not be famous today if it wasn't for Shania Twain. You can take that to the bank.
And deposit it or withdraw it?
Either one. You pick.
Transfer it. I'm going to transfer it.
Okay. It's just super flat, uninteresting. Don't have a whole lot else to say on it. But I am going to take one highlight off this thing. I'm going to take Light of My Life because it reminds me of the Shins.
Oh. I thought you were going to say it reminds you of me.
No, it's the Shins.
Okay.
You're not taking anything?
I am going to take something. Don't be ridiculous. I think that for all of my dislikes on this album, including I've hung a lot of my... argumentative hat on the first track, Swing With My Eyes Closed. There are some really extraordinary moments of production throughout. I think even in that track,
sure.
it ends on this really odd swelling like violin section.
You want a little bit of this?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's really odd. That's really interesting, and I think that's I started to feel what I think she was trying to sell me. On that same note, I think We Got Something They Don't is overall an embarrassing track. It's not an amazing a work of defiant music, but I do think the horn sections that kind of spot that track are very good, and add some extra energy to an otherwise dead thing. So I'm going to take that one, actually. I think there's some cool stuff in that track that I feel okay with on my year-end playlist.
Let's hear a little bit of it. Oh, yeah. Bow, 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 bow. I believe in miracles. What is wrong? You sexy thing.
They may say we're done.
They may say that we're done with this review, Mark, and we are.
All right.
All right.
I'm ready to move on to this next thing.
Yeah.
I'm excited.
You want to talk St. Vincent?
Yeah.
Let's talk about the Butt album. Forget the White album. This is the Butt album. It's Mass Seduction, the latest album from singer, songwriter, guitar player, artistic mind St. Vincent. Eagerly anticipated by many, including me. I think her self-titled from, 3 years ago now, 2014. Mm-hmm. One of my favorite albums from that year, loaded with hits. We're talking Digital Witness. We're talking Birth in Reverse. We're talking Prince Johnny. We're talking Regret. We're talking Seven Crossed Fingers, a fantastic closer on that thing. Loved that album. So very excited to get into some new St. Vincent. Gotta know, Mark, what are your thoughts on this
butt
art piece? This butt. Give me the thoughts on this butt.
I thought the butt was very mysterious, and I still haven't cracked the code of the butt.
Okay, hot take. Is that a brilliant album cover, or is it an awful album cover? Because I've heard a lot of arguments on both sides.
You know what? I love anything that generates like a lot of hot takes that are in dispute with one another, so I'm going to say it's very good.
Cool. Also united thematically with Shania Twain's, because both women on the front are cloaked in leopard skin.
That's true. Which that's so
this
maybe
is like the this is the opposite side of the coin of Shania Twain. On the front side is her with her arms and singing about now, and on this side it's the behind.
Yeah. I don't know if I like
it. It's like the id and the ego.
You think so?
This side is the carnal knowledge and the pleasure that's underneath it. White and red, face and behind. I don't know. There's something there.
That's something there for you. This sounds like a personal admission.
Okay. Tell me about Mass Seduction, Mark.
I'm still kind of digesting it. I'm still working through my own personal feelings on it. It's not exactly, I think, maybe what was expected of St. Vincent at this point in her career. After that self-titled, she kind of exploded. Yeah. She was at a point in her career where you had to acknowledge St. Vincent, no matter what the publication you were working for was, whatever music they covered. It seemed like St. Vincent was relevant to pretty much everybody who was covering music.
Sure.
And I think once you hit that stage, you start to expect a lot of big takes. You start to expect a lot of big statements. And Mass Seduction is a series of kind of she's engaging with some pretty familiar pop song structures that are on the radio, doing her own version of that in tracks like Los Angeles, New York. While at the same time becoming maybe more intimate and doing something weird, but also kind of broad. I don't know. I kind of feel like I don't understand what she's done. Which is not bad. I just don't think I get it yet.
Right. It's fascinating. I feel like this is her first concept album.
You think so?
And I say concept kind of loosely.
Okay.
Because she's got like the overarching theme. I think there are a lot of songs that focus on like the darker underbelly of humanity, whether that is sexuality or through addictions, other things that keep us kind of, I don't know, tied down or focused.
Sure.
It's sort of dystopian in that way. And she oscillates back and forth between what sound like pop bangers and what are far more intimate ballads. I think I agree with you. There are places on here where she's the most intimate she's ever been. But also, I think for fans of her previous work, there is a surprising lack of guitar on this thing.
Yeah.
For someone that styled herself as a huge name, not just in pop music and vocal performances, but also as a great guitar player, there is some good fuzz, man, some great moments. But on the whole, it's definitely more of a pop record than anything else she's put out before. And so I don't know if she's recognizing her new role in music as someone that has a bit more crossover and is trying to play to a larger crowd. Jack Antonoff, who's had his hands in a number of pots this year, has produced this record. A couple weeks back, she was on that Song Exploder podcast and was talking about her song New York and how she was kind of sick of hiding her lyrical meaning in mysteries. And she just wanted to go for it this time and kind of write lyrics that people wanted to have tattooed on their arms and be more straightforward. And so with tracks like Happy Birthday Johnny and New York and Smoking Section, she definitely is going for that. I don't know if overall I like this thing as much as I did her self-titled, but I still think there are a number of bangers on this thing, some excellent high points. I think it's a really consistent album start to back. Even the parts where I'm not as into it, I can appreciate the musical structure she's going for. I think she's wicked smart. I think a lot of the choices she's making here pay off. And I like this album a whole lot, even though I've had to wrestle with it a bit more than her previous.
I may be more on the fence about it.
Okay.
Because that directness, I think that directness gives way to some vulnerable moments that are sometimes successful. I think the track New York, her vocals on that track are amazing. Her lyrics are amazing.
Yeah.
And I can't help but maybe feel a little let it down by what the reality of the song is, which is, you know, one more of these types of songs. I don't know if you could play a clip of it for me.
New York?
Yeah.
Let's do it.
But for you, darling, I do it all again. I have lost a hero. I have lost a friend. But for you, darling, I do it all again.
So I think lyrically, there's some really great moments in there where she is being very direct, and you get a little bit of soul searching and a little bit of her as a person. At the same time, what separates St. Vincent and Kesha as artists in that moment is next to nothing. What separates St. Vincent from any mass market pop artist in that moment is nothing. And I don't know if she's yet wrestled with that. I don't know if she's yet wrestled with that in general. I don't feel like she in tracks like that does anything to subvert that sound. I feel like I've heard that song maybe 800 times at that point. It's always built the same way. It always goes towards the same moments. And the fact that she has simplified her lyrics gives me one less thing to latch on to listening to it, where it's just like, I feel like I've heard this song. I like New York because I feel like it's one of the better moments where she writes a good one of those, but I still feel like it's one of those.
Mm-hmm. Is it the chorus or the verses that's bringing you down? Because I feel that the chorus is maybe a bit derivative, but I do like the verses quite a bit.
The verses are pretty much any piano ballad, right? It's a classic form, and sure. But when it builds to that, I don't know. I kind of feel like I've heard this already.
Yeah. She does add a bit of her acidity by dropping some MFers throughout.
And that's a great moment. Because it feels true. It feels like she's really going for it. She really means it. I just wish it was couched in a song that was notable in any way.
Yeah. I think it's very palatable, though. I think it's easily marketed to others. There's a big reason why that was the lead-off single from this thing. I think she's trying to direct this album to a wider audience that is maybe less willing to engage with the weird stuff, which is a shame because I like her weird stuff. I like when she gets kooky and, plays her guitar really fuzzy.
Okay. But we both have kind of acknowledged that's what we think she's doing, but are we the ones being bamboozled? If this album is called Mass Seduction, and we open with her saying, I'm seducing everyone, this is what I'm into, all people are going to fall into me as prey, are we just one of those people? You know what I mean?
I'll say willingly. I'll go with it. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm all for it.
So then how, if you think this is consistent, because that's one thing I kind of felt it wasn't, because the first four tracks on this thing, maybe five, I guess Los Angeles you could slide in there, are pretty familiar St. Vincent stuff. They're weird, they're subversive, they're cleaner than they usually are.
Yeah.
But a track like Sugar Boy or a track like Pills, those are not the kinds of things that I would expect someone like a cousin of mine to be listening to. You know what I mean? Like someone like you see at a family reunion to be listening to.
It's funny you bring that up because a cousin actually texted me this past week and said, you jam into that St. Vincent yet, cuz? So.
Oh, is he like super
A cousin of yours is listening to St. Vincent right now.
Perfect. Does he like it though? Is it doing it for
him? Yeah. He thinks Los Angeles is one of the best tracks of the year.
Los Angeles is okay. I will say I had no idea what to expect starting out with Hang On Me, which just ends abruptly. Like, it just kind of stops. Goes into Pills, and I'm like, oh, okay, yeah, all right. This is some commentary. The second you hit Happy Birthday, Johnny, the tone levels out.
Yeah.
It becomes a lot of slow moments. Would you agree with that?
Well, it goes back and forth between slow motions and popular moments. We've got Los Angeles – Happy Birthday, Johnny, banger, slow, Savior, banger, New York, slow, Fear the Future, banger, Young Lover and Slow Disco are slower, Smoking Section's a little bit more reduced as well. I think it walks a fine line. It does the national thing from this year where it kind of goes back and forth between the sounds.
I don't know, man.
All right. Well, here's what I'll say. Pills is a single from this thing. Surely she's going to play that. Look for a bigger play with that. I'm not a fan of this song as much as I want to be. I find the chorus, the commentary that's there, is underdeveloped and not super smart. It feels like a Serj Tankian song with a bit more personality and pizzazz to it. But that chorus of all the different kinds of pills to do different kinds of things feels very Serj Tankian. And pairing it with like kind of like childhood Wizard of Oz like melody that's there just doesn't really work for me. I like the melody of the verses and the production is strong, but the chorus I could kind of do without.
It's so funny how often you and I use Serj Tankian as like code for really over the top. But we both love
him so much because only he can do that kind of thing well. Like, he does it bad quite often, but he can pull it off well on occasion, which makes him truly a gift for all of us.
What it really is we both discovered him when we were 13. That's the only reason.
That's why he's important. I think Mass
Seduction.
He wrote
a song called Money. Christ, totally...
All for Money. Cry for Money. All for Money.
Oh, my God.
Yeah,
I love
he's onto something. You. He's onto something there. We should review that album, Like the Dead. Let's get back into it.
I'm there. We never did Toxicity. We never did it.
Yeah, I know. Let's talk a little bit about the track Mass Seduction here. I think this one is one of my favorites because of just the beat drop that comes into this thing, man. Listen to this. First off, killer sample. Opening, love it. Let's get a little bit of the opening verse. Transposition, smoking, marble rose, Lolita is weeping, the bride is beautiful, Mass Seduction. Oh man, right there. See, you get that sort of layered, auto-tuned Mass Seduction, that classic St. Vincent fuzz guitar. And then just the doo-doo, that first like double bass hit on the launch into the chorus, man. And let's hear this chorus because it's it's a banger. You might say, hey, that's the St. Vincent we know and love. And yeah, man, exactly. Like, crank that to 11 and get it blasting through the stereo everywhere. it feels like it's pulling from some of the monolithic female pop icons. It feels very inspired by like a Madonna or a Lady Gaga or someone that's trying to be purposefully seductive to deliver their message. And I think she's inverting some of those and making fun of them potentially. Mm-hmm. But the sonics of it, it's very much feels like a sort of monolithic pop hit from one of those artists.
I also think the way that she handles sexuality generally as an artist is really interesting. And I think this track is the most direct version of that we've seen, where yeah. there is such a casual nature to the way she is sexual that mm-hmm. is disarming. Whereas someone like Madonna will position herself and pose herself as a kind of figure of fascination. I think St. Vincent a little more, it's just kind of like, hi, I'm a sexual being. What's up? Like, you know, there's something yeah. to that that's like so... You just don't see that in art ever, and it makes you sure. listen to her as well as become fascinated with her.
The opening lyrics to Birth in Reverse, "Oh, what an ordinary day, take out the garbage, masturbate."
Masturbate, is that how you say yeah. it?
Masturbate.
Are you Siri?
Let's talk about Los Angeles. This might be my banger of the album. And for me, it's all about this guitar riff to open things up. It's simple, but it's silky, it's slinky, it's like a leopard, it's crawling around on the floor.
What kind of metaphor is that?
It's just, it's fuzz, man.
It's silky, it's slinky, it's a leopard crawling on the floor?
I don't know, man, that's what I'm feeling. What are you talking about? Just follow me here, man. It's got a snarly nature to it. I love the chorus on this thing.
It's like Grimace from McDonald's dancing on a stripper pole.
It is. Like, yeah, man. It's bulky. It's purple. It's trying to sell me a Happy Meal. It's
irrelevant right. now. It got replaced by a really bad looking mascot in the 2015.
Do you not jam to this track?
I that was a criticism of you, not criticism of Los Angeles. I like this track. I think it's pretty good. I don't necessarily know if that opening riff does it for me as much, but I do think it's a highlight on the album.
How about that chorus? Great buildup.
Yeah, it's apocalyptic. That's a really satisfying like chord progression, and that's shared by like a billion artists. But in that track that is so weird and like Grimace from McDonald's as he dances sexily in front of you, wiggling his big purple tufts, it really works.
Yeah. And the progression of lyrics, giving you one line at a time. How could anybody have you and lose you, have you and lose you and not lose their mind too? That's so satisfying in just like a straight poetical analysis, you know, like it's like line breaking it at the right time to put the emphasis on each word, and each addition is meaningful.
I agree. And isn't this one of the moments on the album where she isn't doing what you just said she promised in that interview, which is to be more direct?
Mm-hmm. But I think those lines are pretty straightforward.
I don't know. There's a mystery to the track. I think when you describe it as slinky and like a leopard rolling around on the floor, that indicates that there is something kind of other about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know.
That's not direct in the way New York is.
Right. There's more ambiguity to the having you and losing you stuff.
Who's you?
I don't know.
It's probably me.
Did you jam to Savior at all?
No, got to be honest with you. The second the side B on this thing hits, I totally lose interest.
Okay, let me remind you just how good Savior is here, okay?
Okay, here we go.
Listen to this little opening. Just right there. I love anytime someone's just playing around a couple of notes and just like planking on a guitar, man. Oof, so good.
Planking on a guitar?
Plinkin'. Great. It's great stuff.
If you want to see someone planking on a guitar, I got some pictures for you.
All right. Let's get a little further into this thing. You don't jam to that?
No.
Oh, it's a great vocal delivery. Great vocal hook. It's stronger than anything on Shania Twain's album.
Well, okay, sure. I wasn't particularly a huge fan of that, though. I don't know. I kind of find that sits in a space where there's not a ton of energy. I feel like it sounds kind of familiar. And I maybe still have some stuff to work through with this album. I maybe still have some tracks to digest and fully compartmentalize, maybe, you know, fully get my own ideas on, well, like, what's happening here. But I just feel like this is kind of a, I don't know, give or take to style track, to be honest with you.
I don't disagree with you that it's a step down from her previous stuff.
Okay.
I think she's making efforts to be more approachable, to be more pop-focused, and I think that's ultimately to her detriment, because the parts that I love on this record are where her guitar shines through and where her lyrics are crack of a whip smart. I still think it's consistent. I still think it's a breeze. I think it flies by. I think every track here is vital. There's no filler. I still enjoy the album overall, but I do wish it was a bit more, I don't know, like the previous stuff. I like that last album a whole lot.
Yeah, it's because it's very good. It's one of the albums of the decade, you might say.
Ooh, that's a big claim. I don't know. We got a couple of years before we got to make those claims, but...
I don't know. I feel like that's such a flash in the pan moment, though. Like, I feel like that's such a, like everyone had a St. Vincent... Like, wow, Digital Witness is really interesting, huh? Like, I feel like there was... Yeah. Everyone had their own St. Vincent thing happen. I feel like it would be a crime if that album didn't make it on some decade end lists.
Yeah. I think I had that up at the top of my list for 2014, but that was before I had heard Run the Jewels 2, so... I'm pretty sure that would be better, but still, man.
Okay, Run the Jewels 2 is better. However,
that's a gunshot to the forehead every time you listen to that album.
That's true, but that St. Vincent album gets better every time you listen to it.
No doubt. Some might say it's the second best album of 2014.
My whole list would change now if I made it.
Yeah, probably.
It would be completely different. Well, same with you?
Yeah. Oh, for sure. Now that I've had time to get into some of those things. I had like... Death from Above, 1979, on my top 10 list that year.
Oh, no.
And that album is fine, but it's not top 10 material.
Right on Frankenstein is not top 10 material.
The song might be. It's a force feed.
You're a force feed of a friendship.
Well, I'll tell you this, Mark. I'm taking four tracks off of Mass Seduction because there are four good ones on here. And it's easy.
Okay.
I'm taking New York and Savior and Los Angeles and Mass Seduction.
Jeez.
Boom, 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 boom.
All right. I'm not boo-hooing you because I feel like there's not good tracks, but because I think the reason you took them is not quite right. I feel like you're saying this is like end-of-year competitor material, and I don't think it is.
I'll say it's hanging around the bottom of my list right now.
Oh, jeez, man.
Yeah.
You're turning me into Morty here.
And this is not just because it's like, oh, it's that artist I like. Here's their next thing. I automatically like it. I recognize this is a step down from the previous stuff, but I still think there's a lot of great stuff to dive into.
Okay. All right. Well, for me. I'll say this. I don't think this album is going to crack my top 10. I would be very surprised. I would have to have something significant happen with the album at this point in my life to really put it up to that high of a standard. But I will say, for an album that I find maybe disappointing and confusing as a next step for an artist, I do think there are at least three tracks to take from it.
Of course.
And there only one of them is, I think, on yours. Pills. For as surge tanking as it is, I love the sort of retro aesthetic she uses to make her statement with the whole eating pills thing. I like Sugar Boy. I'm just going to say
Sugar Boy's pretty good. Yeah.
I'm going to come out and say it. Sugar Boy's my favorite. And Los Angeles. I'm going to take that too. And that's going to be my three.
And if you overlap it, we got over half the album there. Clearly, this thing is loaded with good songs.
You're just kind of ridiculous about yourself.
And I think that Happy Birthday, Johnny is really touching and a great follow-up to the song Prince Johnny from the last album. It's a good part two.
It is a good song.
Yeah. And that's a pretty solid, consistent album overall.
Okay.
All right, we are going to take a quick break. Then when we come back, we'll be talking about the Billboard Hot 100 hits from Logic, 1-800-273-8255. See you in a bit.
Summer's here. Bring it on. Another year. One more beat. Another song.
All right, we are back and ready to... No, I'm doing that again. Hang on. All right, we are back. You're totally going to leave that in, aren't you?
Oh, man. What if I did?
Oh, I'd hate you forever.
Man, all right, we are back.
All right, we are back and ready to get into the latest Billboard single from Logic, 1-800-273-8255. Mark, this song has been sweeping the nation, a product of a number of think pieces. Have you read anything on this song or have you heard it before?
I don't know how to read.
Okay, let's just get right into it then and let our ears do the reading for us.
I've been taking my time. I feel like I'm out of my mind. I feel like my life ain't mine. Who can relate? Ooh.
I gotta say that instrumental opening is quite beautiful. I think that's really nice.
Very emotional. Yeah. I think the last thing. How many times have we done this at this point? The 30-second breakdown. Is it something like?
Oh, it has to be 40 or so.
Yeah, something like that. And
over 40.
I have to admit to you, I never once have had a visceral emotional reaction to any of these songs. This is the first time I was like, oh, what is this? Oh, what's happening? Oh, I'm not sure yet.
Yeah. So the phone number is, of course, the National Suicide Prevention Hotline. Let's read a little bit from the Genius page. On this track, Logic shows that suicide is never the answer to anyone's problems. He wants people to know that there is always help available, like the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline, whose phone number is the title of this song. In fact, the song was released in partnership with the NSPL.
Wow.
In an interview with Genius, Logic said that this song details the story of someone calling the NSPL wanting to commit suicide, but after a conversation with the NSPL representative, the caller soon after decides he wants to live.
Wow. It must be so hard to make that phone call.
Heavy. Yeah. Oh, my God.
I can only imagine being directly at that point and deciding, I do know there's a hotline. I'll give that a shot first.
Yeah,
you know, that's got to be a severe moment.
For sure. Here are some direct annotations. I don't know if there are any other annotations. This seems like it's all just Logic's annotations the whole way through.
Wow, it's very green. It's very green.
It's very green. I'm glad to hear someone qualified to talk about their music come in. Hopefully he's a little bit more intelligent than whoever that guy was that made himself seem like an idiot.
Post Malone?
No, not Post Malone. He does that just accidentally. The other guy, Charlie Puth.
Okay. Oh.
On attention. She just want attention. Right?
I've been talking to this girl, and she told me I wasn't nice, and I told her, well, I just don't know. I mean, did you look at what I did before? So anyway, I had a keyboard. It was a Casio 768, and I told my producer this just isn't the right keyboard. But at the end of the day, we got a funky jam.
So Logic says here, I think it was just a record that was years in the making. Also, it's like, who really wants to write a song about suicide? It's hard. But also, I was like, F it, I'm going to make this an anthem. And that's why it's like, I've been on the low, I've been taking my time. It's like, you hear it, and who can relate?
Wow, okay. Well, I mean, I'm open to it. I'm open to songs that mean something. You know? So rarely does that happen.
I got to give it up to some killer album covers. I gotta say, looking at this Logic guy's discography, he's got some top-notch album covers here.
Yeah. Has that not been on your listen list, this Logic's album from this year?
Sure hasn't, no.
It's been sitting there, and I've been like, not yet. Just haven't done it.
Are you digging that? Kind of like the Greek mythos with the space age?
Sure. I don't know. I think it looks good.
We got some corgis in the foreground right there, getting their bums scratched. Mm.
Corgis do love that. I also love that. I wish you'd do that more often.
Yeah. We'll talk about that after the show.
Okay.
Let's keep going. I've been taking my time. I feel like I'm out of my mind. It feels like my life ain't mine. I don't wanna be alive. I don't wanna be alive. I just wanna die today. I just wanna die.
Oh man, that perfectly works out to completely steal the energy from the song.
Yeah, sorry about that. 30 seconds is 30 seconds. All right, Logic says, I think it's a bit morbid at first. I don't want to be alive, I just want to die, I just want to die. Like, F-O-S, but I had to write this because you can't sugarcoat it. Everything is going to be all right, MF-er. Don't kill yourself. Like, nah, it's got to be. Yo, fam, yeah, you want to take your life. You want to kill yourself. You want to slit your wrist. You want to eat pills. You want to shoot yourself in the head and need a bullet. And it sucks. I thought about killing myself, sure, a bunch of times. But the thing is, I think about this all the time. I stand in the line at the grocery store and, like, yo, what if I punch this cashier in the face right now? And that's the kind of stuff we don't talk about, but we all think it.
Huh?
But we never think that. So I thought about it, but never did it in my life. I actually never think I'd actually commit the act for real. Hopefully I'm never there, but I know a lot of people who have. A lot of people very near and dear and close to my heart. And because of that, I think this also served for inspiration for this song. You ever want to punch a cashier at the grocery store in the face?
I was like so into that comment, and I was completely mystified by that part. What? What does he mean? He wanted to punch a cashier in the face?
Yeah, you ever just stand at a cashier and be like, I'm going to punch this guy in the face?
No. To be honest with you, I haven't.
Okay, do you ever have that thought of, like, I'm just driving the car, like, I could just drive this car right off the road?
Well, yeah, but that's not like I'm looking a human being in the eyes who's serving me, and I say, I'm going to hate you.
There's a condition for that. It's like a mental thing that human people do.
Yeah?
I'm going to try Googling it.
What, are you going to succeed?
I'm going to try to succeed.
I do. I have that thought in traffic. Like, where I work, I have to be deep in traffic at the end of the day, like going home. So I've already worked, and it's like already a bunch of things have happened, and it's like I just have to sit and just stare. And I have had a bunch of thoughts where it's like, it would be so satisfying to just like, I'm just kind of done with traffic and just drive my car into another car. Like, that would be deeply satisfying for me. It would be horrible. I'd have to spend a bunch of money. I'd really inconvenience someone's day. It would be really rude to do. It would be very bad. But I think part of me would always be satisfied that one time I drove my car into someone else's car. So doesn't traffic suck? Blam! Like, that would be very good to do one time.
Yeah. The phenomenon is known as the imp of the perverse, which has a long history in literature and was popularized and perhaps coined by Edgar Allan Poe in his titular short story, The Imp of the Perverse.
Okay.
He says, we have a task before us which must be speedily performed. We know that it will be ruinous to make delay. The most important crisis of our life calls, trumpet-tongued for immediate energy and action. It must, it shall be undertaken today, and yet we put it off until tomorrow. And why? There's no answer, except that we feel perverse, using the world with no comprehension of the principle. Then the clock strikes, and it's the knell of our welfare. At the same time, it is the chanticleer note to the ghost that has so long overawed us. It flies, disappears, and we are free. The old energy returns. We will labor now. Alas, it is too late.
Okay, question.
Mm-hmm.
You ever stand in the grocery store, and then you wanted to punch someone in the face?
I don't know that I've done it in a grocery store, but I can think of times when people have been talking to me and the gut feeling of just wanting to either scream at them or just walk away.
What's our episode number?
84? 5? Somewhere around there.
Can you think of 85 times you've wanted to do that?
No.
Okay.
Only 84.
Oh, crap.
I want thin ice. Which episode is it, Mark?
What kind of situation were you talking about here?
I don't know. Just someone's going on about something. It's not even about, like, related to the content. Like, I don't have to be like, oh, you're talking about something I don't believe. I'm going to beat you up, you racist. It's more just like, you know, I just don't want to listen to this right now.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, I guess I can get, I can understand that. I can't think of a time I felt that with someone who's in a position where they have to talk to me. You know what I mean? Like someone who's like, I chose to be somewhere that they have to be.
Yeah.
I guess I haven't felt that, but I've definitely felt that where I'm trapped somewhere and I can't leave and I have to hear someone out, where I've just kind of wanted to be like, what if I just kind of like just walked through you, just pushed y'all away, just got out of there.
Yeah.
You know, that'd be satisfying mm-hmm. to be.
Yeah, I hear you.
Or, okay, extremely specific example. Over-attentive video game store employees.
Ooh.
When they are very sure that what you're looking for that day is a pre-order for a game you'll never buy.
I hate all of it.
Mm-hmm. Hey, looking for anything in particular? No.
I bet help? You are.
No. You want to pre-order something? No. What about this coming out? Everyone's looking forward to it. No. Still no.
Let me tell you something. Have you heard of Call of Duty?
No. What is it?
They're going back to World War II.
Holy.
Man, production sounds good. I think the rapping is decent. I think the song performances are pretty strong. I'm jamming to this so far. I think it's pretty strong.
You know, I think there is a quality to the song that is, it is written for someone other than the artist.
Sure.
And I think that might be informing maybe more of what we're feeling than usual, because most usually when we
most of this is like, yeah, it's selfish, boastful, egotistical crap.
Across all genres.
Yeah.
To be clear, every time we recover a Billboard song, it's always your body looks like a back road. You look terrible.
I'm looking at you, Imagine Dragons.
there's a million of these things. And it's honestly, I'm genuinely taken aback by how the song appears to be very earnest. It appears to be totally. Extremely wanting people to get help. And
yeah.
Forgetting anything I'll say about the track as a whole, I will say that I think that is extremely important.
Let's hear some more from Logic. For me, this is something that really allows listeners to feel connected because this is their outlet. The song is their outlet. I'm hurting deep down but can't show it. But Logic can help me because he's playing the song. He's letting it be known to the entire world forever how I feel in this moment. And that's a scary thing, man, because think about all the people who will never hear the song. But it's something that I feel really needed to be said. It's a bit dark. Even the line, I'm hurting deep down but can't show it. You think about the people that actually do show it, but don't have anybody there that loves them enough. That's another person who the song is for. Their parents don't give a crap about them, or they think they're going through a phase, they're older in their life, and it's like, I'm hurting, and somebody help me, and nobody cares. That's also why the song is titled 1800, because that's how I refer to it. It's amazing, because hopefully they'll be able to be like, oh, I do feel this way. This song is inspiring me. Let me call somebody at this hotline and see if they can help me.
I will say, for an artist to be extremely successful musically as far as a single, that probably will, this number will reach more ears than it would in any other form.
Yeah, sure.
That's cool. That's cool to do.
Definitely. Mad respect.
Mad. Insane respect.
And I think he's doing a nice job, too, of kind of avoiding the Macklemore trap. you know?
Yeah.
Because I feel like with Macklemore, Moore, he's also someone that tries to release songs that are meant to influence. And I feel like if you go back to like Same Love, that also swept the nation.
Yeah.
But there was a, it still felt selfish, you know, in a way right. that this song doesn't.
Because he actually doesn't experience any form of discrimination. And Logic, at least in that interview you read from there, had at least acknowledged, hey, I've been in a really bad spot. I thought about eating a bullet. Like that. You know, he is basically saying, I've had this experience. I know what it's like. I'd like to help people who also have, which puts him on easier ground than someone who says, someone thought I was gay, and I thought maybe I was. Turns out I wasn't. Anyway, discrimination is bad. I'm pretty good for talking about it. Very, very different kind of vibe.
You guys heard Thrift Shop yet?
You remember that one? Ah, it's $50 for a t-shirt. This is the kind of thing I think about kind of a lot, to be honest with you. Like, thinking about how much of a microphone famous artists have to talk about things that matter and how rarely they do. And having had experiences where this hotline would have come in handy, it kind of is amazing to me that how obliquely this stuff is referenced in music generally, or as a sort of artistic metaphor for a different topic. I think it's actually really cool that an artist has chosen to say, hey, this is an illness that you're suffering from. Here's a way to help you with that. Like in no uncertain terms, here's literally right now, if you're having trouble, I have a number. That's kind of cool. That's very cool.
Yeah. And the fact that it doesn't feel like it is sacrificing in musical quality either. You know, it's not just a PSA on an album.
Yeah. I won't say musically this is very ambitious, but it is honest. And that is such a rare quality on the Billboard.
Yeah, that's the thing. To have it like be an album deep cut, let alone a single that has propelled itself to success. And, you know, that just proves it's resonating with listeners out there.
Yeah, that's very cool.
Yeah, it's good to get some positive news from the Billboard in 2017.
Yeah, that's not a thing that has happened.
There's been very little.
Especially, can I just make one more comment, though? Yeah, sure. Just, would you just shut up for just a minute? And remember that we reviewed Shania Twain earlier, and that was her now statement. Wow, you whine a lot. Why is that? And this is so much more relevant, you know? I just feel like there's some artists who the world changed rapidly post like 2007, like internet, everyone had the internet time. And I don't know, we're like three decades past like the 90s at this point. And this song is indicative of that.
Moving on. There's Alicia Cara.
That was the shortest 30 seconds I ever heard.
Well, I promise you it was 30.
You know why?
Why?
Because I want to hear more.
Wow. That's amazing.
Yeah.
But it's cool that now the chorus has changed to not just saying that I want to die, I don't want to be alive, but I want you to be alive. And let me tell you why.
Yeah. That's a very earnest thing. That's it's like a somewhat like, hey, I want you to be alive. That's really cool. That is completely selfless to say in a song.
And he says the second hook and verse is from the perspective of the operator on the other end of the line. Here are all the reasons why you should continue to live. And so he's got Alicia Cara to be the telephone operator.
Yeah, that's cool. That's actually a very unique way to introduce a guest spot in your song. I don't think I've ever heard
it. It makes sense in the plot of the story.
There's a
narrative here.
Yeah, there's kind of more narrative element. That's cool.
We're not just shouting about believers or overcoming troubles or back roads.
Yeah.
Or fancy cars and chains. It's just, it's selfless.
Yeah. It's as if there was a room full of, you know, 50 or so people who are all kind of talking just at a party, and someone said, hey, hold on. Can we talk about something else for a second? This is kind of important. You know, it kind of feels like someone interjected into a room full of noise with something that mattered.
And I think Alicia Cara is a great choice for the hook. I'm looking for her to be the next big thing in pop music.
Usually when we talk about Billboard songs, I don't measure their quality on did this make anyone happy, because I feel like most people, it's difficult to actually seek out things to do for entertainment for a lot of people when you're just, you got a lot going on in your life. You got a lot you got to do. You got responsibilities and people to care for. It's hard to say, I'm going to spend time to do a thing that I think is kind of fun to educate myself. That's not like an easy choice to make. So usually whenever someone says, I really love that track, Body Like a Back Road, I think to myself, like, ah, that sucks. There's better stuff for you, to be honest with you. So usually it's not a measure of quality for me whenever a song is popular and it reaches someone. But for a song like this, if this song reached just a single human being who then called somebody else when they were in a moment of crisis, then
massive success.
Yes. If no matter how much money was spent on this track, it was absolutely worth it, because money is arbitrary. Life is not. So I think the song is a social good.
Hell yeah. So, some logic perspective. He says switching up the perspective in the second verse is everything, because that's the person going, hey, this is not permanent. The way you feel is okay. Things will get better. I love to interact with fans, so I'll go on Twitter and be like, what's positive in your life today? And somebody will say, like, nothing. My life sucks. It's so dreary. And I usually hit him back with, too bad. And I'll go on a rant and be like, tell me what's positive in your life. Tell me this or tell me that. I want to hear what's positive in your life. Can you breathe? Can you see? Can you taste food? Can you walk? Can you this or that? These are things I want to hear. I want them to know, because I want you to appreciate them. I appreciate them, and I hope you can truly appreciate them. I've been there so much when we focus on the negativity of a situation, and I didn't ask you, tell me all your negative stuff. I said, tell me about the positive.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. I like logic. This guy's cool.
Yeah, he seems all right to me. I think whenever you're depressed, it is, you know, it's a clinical thing. Like, you can't.
Yeah.
You're forced to see the negative, right? And I think there's
It's all encompassing.
Right. There's probably a reading of that that says, well, you're not really getting it. But I don't think that's actually what he's saying there. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
To do a
you got to overwhelm
defense,
it.
You got to. It's about finding whatever you can to hold on to in that darkest moment and saying, I'll find the next peg on the wall to climb, you know?
Right. Right. Yeah, man.
Well, good for him.
It could be hard. It could be so hard, but you got to live right now.
Okay, so are we going to have a most likable rap artist of the year award?
It's a front runner for Logic. I mean, I would say like Chance the Rapper won it last year, right? Maybe Logic's in that who'd want to hang out with, the best buddy award.
Nah, I'm thinking Jay-Z this year. I think he's the one.
Also, I'm just now realizing that Jank was our runner-up last year for Best Buddy Award, and that makes me so sad.
I feel like that's a whole other topic. I feel like we can't be having this conversation also that one right now. That seems like a lot.
All right. Let's go back. We still got about a minute and a half to go here. Right now. Got some soulful singing coming into the background now, man.
Yeah, there you go. This is exactly what we're looking for in the song.
Whew. And I gotta say that line, the who can relate, woo. Yeah. I feel like that even though he's done it three times now, it feels authentic and genuine every time.
Why would you make the song if you didn't care enough?
Right. He's reaching out a hand to everyone. I feel like he's talking to me, you know? Who could relate?
He's talking to you in particular, actually.
Yeah. And I'll agree with you that the chorus is maybe safe musically, sonically. It's not like reaching for... it's not trying to be experimental here, but man, you want accessibility, you want palatability. I think it sounds real gorgeous. I think it's produced well.
Yeah.
And the earnestness of it all just shines through and makes it extremely palatable.
Yeah. You know, I usually come down on the side of, does an artist with a massive audience who can potentially help a lot of people have a responsibility to do so? I generally come on the side of no. Like, they're still private citizens. If you think they do and they're not doing a good enough job, then avoid them. But at the same time, I am completely appreciative of the kinds of people who use their success to do good things for others. And it, particularly when it comes in the form of their method of communication. So, I don't know. This is a good thing.
Yeah, totally agree.
And I'll accept the cheesy piano ballad because I think it's a good thing. I think he means it.
Yeah. This is the final annotation for the final verse, where he says, I finally want to be alive. So this is one of those songs where it took me a few months to do it, and it didn't take a few months because I wasn't inspired. It's just a hard song to do for me. I didn't want to talk about that. I really wanted to. I mean, I didn't want to talk about half of this on this album, but this was a really, really hard one, so I made sure that I didn't just rush it out. Sometimes I'm like, I got to finish the song, and I go and just write some crazy stuff, like the second verse in America. I wrote that in 5 minutes. I was just like, yeah, I just did it. And this wasn't like that. This was like, I want to take my time. I have to be patient, once again, because the song can potentially save people's lives. So I'm not just going to go in and just be like, oh, this sounds hot. Like, no, I'm not doing that.
Wow, hot suicide beat. That would be terrible.
Ooh, this hot beat.
Yeah, that's... okay, you know. Yeah. You came to the obvious conclusion. Not as fast a pace as I want, but still you came to the right conclusion. I'm still there.
There are other annotations on here, but I feel like I don't want to read them.
Yeah.
This is Logic song.
He did it.
He did it. And he found a way to express himself without coming across like a major douchebag.
I'm very into that happening in discourse. I'm extremely into that.
We need more of that in general discourse in 2017.
Not just music. Like, I mean, like the whole thing. Like, just generally, that'd be great.
If we could all just keep an eye out for each other and say nice things every now and then and try to save somebody else's life instead of worrying about our own skin.
Yeah.
Man.
Like there's something to care about on people, you know, on many sides.
Many sides. All right. Let's keep going.
Okay. That's cool. I think she has a great funk voice that I think really elevates the song.
Yeah, definitely.
I think there's also something cool about the subdued rap singing. I think he actually has a singing voice. I'm realizing how much is lacking in someone like Tyler, the Creator, or Kanye whenever they do their like singing hooks where it's just like, wow, you actually can't carry this.
Yeah, but I Kanye's like got a terrible voice.
He really does, yeah. Yeah. I feel like Logic actually does. He has at least enough like musical sense. Oh, like this is where the key should be. This is no Action Bronson moment of, wow, I can't even find that.
Yeah, I'm just gonna sing a song about food I'm making in the kitchen.
Chop,
yeah.
chop.
Yeah, I'm in a Lamborghini driving around the town, coming to see you. Coming out of the porta potty at the festival. You see my new cooking show on a Vice. I'm making up special sauce and rice. Yeah.
Who knew you had this Action Bronson impression in you?
I got a brand new car.
Wow, you're the biggest Action Bronson fan that's ever lived. Here's a medal.
Thank you. Thank you. Or Mr. Wonderful.
In any case, forgetting that whole thing, I'm saying...
This is very touching personal song.
Yeah, well, yeah, but also, Alisa Cara did something to the song that elevated it in a meaningful way. I think that was actually a great verse. I'm just saying that.
Great feature.
It was a great feature.
A pop feature in a rap song that makes sense in the context of the song.
Yeah, that doesn't feel cheap or just kind
just
of like
thrown in there.
Obvious sexualized moment. This feels right. Like, well, you needed someone to really carry the emotional moment home in a way Logic most definitely couldn't. So it's right. Cool that she was there.
Yeah, totally. You wouldn't get Nicki on there, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. No disrespect to Nicki. She's great.
You needed, I think the song benefited from a big vocal moment.
Kind of an extended outro there, but it's nice.
That's fine. I mean, but the way we're listening to this, though, like, there's a value to having, like, this just kind of fades that is not served at all by our format. You know what I mean?
Right, right. And also considering that it's coming in the middle of an album that we have listened to.
Yeah.
So.
I wouldn't – this might not be, like, super, like, in the moment, oh, this makes sense, but I wouldn't take away from the song. The way we do this doesn't make sense for that, so.
Agreed.
Yeah.
I think it's really good. It might be the best Billboard song of the year.
It's a contender. That's definitely for sure. However,
I'd have to go back and see.
Taylor Swift does some really smart stuff, and
right.
It's going to be tough.
Consider we'll probably be talking about more Taylor Swift in just a couple of weeks here when that album inevitably goes to number one. But yeah, this is heartfelt in a way that I haven't felt almost all year. Even with Kendrick and Humble, you know, that was a lot of fun, but nowhere near as heartfelt as the song feels.
Yeah, this reminds me of moments in my life where I'm like, oh, it would have been cool to have someone with this big of an audience to point something to. That's really cool.
Definitely. All right, 10 seconds.
I don't even want to die anymore. Are we taking it?
Undoubtedly.
We're taking it.
Woo!
I mean, I'm definitely taking it.
Yeah. No, it's a great one. Really, totally, unironically, I was moved by that. I found it very emotional.
Yeah, that was very cool. I'm happy.
I'm very interested to listen to this album now and check out the rest of Logic. Do you have anything else you listened to this week, Mark?
This week, by this week, I assume you mean the last, like, 3 weeks.
The past month.
I listened to the the last Arcade Fire album.
Ooh, Reflector. So did I.
I think we both have some thoughts on it, and I'd rather you go first.
Okay. I was saying to you before the show started that I'm really sad because I feel like everything now has forever put a mark on the Arcade Fire name, and so now I'm second-guessing everything they've ever released. Like, was it really as good as I thought it was? And, you know, that album was really important to me, and I think it's maybe their best album, and it's loaded with amazing tracks. And going through it, I certainly felt those moments. But then also on times, you know, where I would say jam to a song like, what is it? Wait Until It's Over? Is that it?
Wait, what? In Reflector?
Yeah.
Wait Until It's Over?
Yeah. What's that one? Wait Until It's Over.
Orpheus.
Hey, Orpheus.
Hey, Orpheus.
It's never over.
Excuse me. Yeah.
Yeah. And the whole time through it, I'm like, man, I used to get down to that. And now I'm thinking, like, is it just lazy, man? Are they just being lazy with that? Because some of that stuff in the back half of that song, it just comes across as talky and weird. Like, listen to the back half of this stuff here. I will sing your name to your second me. I kind of muddy, and the cymbals and the drum set come in really strong, and Regine is singing something in the background, and I'm just like...
something.
It's not working anymore. Like, everything now broke. Everything. And so now I'm going back through an album that I think is almost perfect the whole way through, or did once think was completely perfect, and am now second-guessing everything. Like, am I just in this dark wormhole? And... what I thought was once perfect is no longer true. Reflector, as a single, is still a bullet from the sky and is amazing. And I love Here Comes the Nighttime. But suddenly I'm second-guessing the stuff that propels the album to its finish line. Everything now might have ruined Arcade Fire for me. And I will forever hold that against them.
Wow. Oh, my God.
I know. I was freaking out.
Are you okay?
Because we want to talk about albums of the decade, I would bring Reflector to that discussion all the time.
So would I. Man. Yes.
Top five, baby.
Wow. Okay.
Tell me you're not having the same feelings, because I'm going to be really scared if you are.
I'm not. I'll be honest with you. I listened to Reflector again, and I thought, wow, this was a really interesting turn in this band's trajectory.
Where everything started to go wrong.
I think Reflector has problems, but I think the self-titled has some significant problems too. Like, I think that all of the tracks on that first album are not successful. There are slow moments.
On Funeral.
Yeah, on Funeral. I think Neon Bible is still, discounting the album from this year, obviously, the most inconsistent album they've released. They are not a perfect band.
Yeah.
But I think Reflector, like Hey Orpheus, is really strong. I love the bass on that song.
Me too, man.
I love the way you describe Regina as doing something in the background, because I feel like that's her role in most songs.
That's where she's best.
What's happening with that member of the band? Oh, she's just doing something in the background. I don't know.
Try to keep her in the background.
She's doing something over there. Just keep it in. Keep her happy. But no, I think that song is actually really strong. I the pair to that song,
Awful Sound,
Eurydice has some interesting stuff in it. I don't think it's perfect. I think that band has always had flaws, and for me, as someone who has always kind of felt that way, I feel like their strengths shine more than ever whenever I look at an album that is mostly flaws.
You gotta Reflector teach me your
is amazing.
Ways.
Afterlife is amazing. That ability that they have to write something that is willing to be earnest and embrace this like childlike need for justice and connection with others, like No Cars Go, I regularly listen to. I think that stuff is all in Reflector. Start to finish. I think Here Comes the Nighttime is still super duper fun.
It's so fun.
It's still really interesting.
Yes. Oh. Burl down, it's so good from the start, man. It's fantastic.
Which is easily the lowest moment on that album, still has like, wow, that was kind of an interesting chorus. You took that Paul McCartney sound that he used for that Christmas song and made it into a kind of a weird pop song. Like, that's cool.
Yeah, but then I also think the people that wrote Afterlife, after all the breath and the dirt and the fires are burnt, like those kind of lyrics, also thought it was a good idea to put a song called Infinite Content onto an album twice and say the lyric infinitely content, we're infinitely content twice.
That's true.
And I think, how do those two things coexist in the same world?
How do you survive with someone like Billy Joel, Pearl Jam, who have big highs and big lows, though?
I don't know, man. I guess Arcade Fire was in a league of their own, where Billy Joel and Pearl Jam are working men. You know, Billy Joel's a scrappy New York type. Pearl Jam were always punks from Seattle that were looking to pick a fight with anybody. So they had that ragged nature built into them. And sure, the folks from Canada, right? They're Canadian?
I don't know that.
I don't feel like they're Canadian. Arcade Fire, they always had that kind of childlike wonder, but also inside of that, there was something about the perfection of it. Like, you know, I don't know. I felt like they fell from grace really hard, and they're still recovering from the fall.
I don't know, man. I feel like that's maybe a little bit in your head, because I think that stuff stands up really well still. I listened to it and I thought, oh, right, this is why I like Arcade Fire. I had the opposite reaction. You all right?
I'll be okay, but it's just 2017, I think. I got to get through it.
Super Symmetry is still a really kind of fascinating album closer.
Yeah, it's long.
It is long. That's not great. It's pretty long. But it's, I love the vocals in it. I'll say yeah. that. It's, I think Normal really Person gorgeous. is still a little cheap.
Oh, yeah. No, I like Normal Person a lot. I love that opening. Do you like
wait,
rock
wait, what,
and
what
roll
didn't you
music?
Like about... You're talking to me about how this is disappointing you. Every track I brought up, you like more than I do.
Man. You like rock and roll music?
Yeah, it's like a...
Because I don't know if I do.
Nathan Fielder character wrote a rock song.
Yeah.
By character, I mean person.
I would still stand by that album being one of the best of the decade, but... I'm starting to pick apart flaws, and I don't want to be the person that picks apart flaws. I want to embrace the greatness for what it is.
I think they've always been flawed. I think every single album they've released has had serious flaws that have been overlooked, and now they're clearer, but their strengths are just as good than they've ever been.
Yeah. Reflector is a song of the decade.
The song of the I don't know about that.
One of the songs of the decade, like top 10.
Top 10?
Probably.
I don't know about that. I disagree with that.
All right. We'll talk in a couple years.
I don't know, man. That seems like a lot. Top 10. 10. There's only 10 songs. Reflector. That seems like a lot.
We'll see.
I put Afterlife above it, frankly.
Yeah?
Yeah.
All right. I had an album this past time we were out. Listen to Beck's Colors, which Ooh. Is finally out.
Interesting.
Yeah, listened to Dreams 2 years ago. It was in my top 50 tracks of the year. Eagerly awaited the album. So 2 years later, we're here finally. This got Wow on it too, which was also a single last year. And this is an album of Beck pop songs. And your enjoyment of that will depend mostly on how much you like Beck and how much you like pop songs.
I like Beck.
Yeah, Beck's cool. And I like pop songs, and so I find this album to be pretty enjoyable. There's not a lot to it. It's pretty fluffy. It moves pretty quick. But production-wise, it's top-notch. There is something interesting, I think, in each track that makes it worth listening to. Dreams has got a new mix for this record, which is a lot of fun. Wow is spacey and goofy, just like it was last year. I think it's a lot of fun.
Cool.
Have you heard Wow?
No, not at all.
Let me play a little bit from Wow so you can get into it. Some good pan flute. It's kind of like if Beck tried to do a cover off of Junk from last year. You know?
Okay.
Throw in a bunch of, like, bizarro sounds and some talking stuff going on top of it. I don't know. Seventh Heaven is a good track that I like quite a bit. Again, pop structure. Nothing like out of the woodwork coming through here, but it's fun. It's fun, man. Dreams. I make this joke a lot, but that's the best Foster the People song that Beck has ever written.
Okay.
The joke is that Foster the People can't write a good song, and everyone else keeps doing what they do better than them.
That's a funny joke. Would you like me to laugh at it?
No. Just acknowledge that it's funny.
Funny joke.
And that's pretty much it. I got to say, I've been kind of out of the loop for a while, so it's good to get back in and charge to the finish line here with you.
Honestly, I have some other stuff, but it's like nothing that I have like a ton of thoughts about, you know.
Yeah.
I feel like I got to get right back in the deep end. I feel like I got to take a dive, you know what I'm saying?
Well, why don't you make a dive right now, Mark? What's your pick for next week?
I'm taking the King Krull album.
Ooh.
The OOZ, or is it the Ooze?
It looks like ooze, but if it's OOZ, that'd be cool too.
It's written OOZ.
Right.
I mean, perhaps he talks about ooze. Maybe this is a Nicktoons album and I don't realize it.
Could be weird.
I've been listening to a lot of chill wave. I'll say that much. And
all right,
I'm ready to be more chill than I've ever been.
Let's chill out, dude.
Relax.
Go to it when you want to go to it.
Wow, you came with that so fast that it made me feel like you've always been waiting to have that moment.
Yeah, you know what else I've been waiting for? A new Billboard pick. Rockstar, Post Malone featuring 21 Savage is at the top of the charts once again, followed by Bodak Yellow, Money Moves, and 1-800 with Logic. We're going down to number 4.
And it is?
We got some indie crossover. Mark Portugal, the man, with Feel It Still at number 4.
Okay. That's fascinating.
Yeah, man. It's like
Portugal,
the biggest
the man
pop.
Is relevant at all.
Seriously, it's the biggest thing since Float On.
Oh, boy.
And Breathing On Its Heels is a new Imagine Dragons single. So we're going to hope that falls off the face of the earth by next week. Or else we'll be hitting track 2 from that terrible album.
That's all right.
No, it's not.
I'd rather not. That's okay.
Tell Logic to get making more music. I want to hear more from that guy.
I feel he has a whole album just waiting for you to listen to.
I know. I got to get into it. Maybe next week I'll chat with you about it.
Okay. I'll be waiting here. I'll be waiting for you.
All right. So next week on the show, we'll be diving into King Cruel and also Portugal the Man. Do be sure to tune in then. In the meantime, you can keep up with us on the social media feeds. Thanks so much for keeping Weekly Beats active. This year has been our best so far. And we're looking forward to getting the end of the year extravaganza rolling once December pulls in here. Mark, yeah. You and I might only have a couple more weeks of programming here. Really just 3 more weeks of content. And then it's into end of the year lists and the beatsies and all the good stuff that comes with December.
That's true. I was going to say, though, wouldn't it be hilarious if we had our worst year ever? Like, we just bleed listeners.
We've had our worst year ever. Where every episode we're offending more people and they're saying no.
It seems like less and less people care to hear us, and we're still doing it.
We've inspired a protest podcast that's garnered more listeners and a more active audience, and we just don't know what to do with ourselves.
Oh my god.
Weekly, but you know
sheets.
What, Mark? You know what?
What?
I listened to that Logic song, and I'm going to go out there and seize the day. Life's worth living.
That's true. That's a true fact. And I will join you in that endeavor once you exit your boarded up weird hobo house.
Probably never going to happen. I'll see you in the springtime.
Okay.
All right. See you next week for King Cruel and Portugal the Man. Until next time, play that outro music.